Part 5. The Big Ideas. Even in their current incomplete state, string theory and other such theories lead to a huge expansion in our conception of reality, higher dimensions of space, parallel universes, novel behavior on the finest scales, new interrelationships among types of matter and forces, and the idea that space and time are composed of something spaceless and timeless. It's an intellectually fertile time when people are developing new ways of thinking about some of the deepest questions possible. We'll step through the ideas and find out what the diverse theories have to say about them. Chapter 14. Extra Dimensions. In this chapter, visualizing the unvisualizable, ways to feel extra dimensions, the funky shape of higher space, why 3 is special. String theory works best when strings have plenty of elbow room. Ordinary space with its 3 dimensions of length, width, and height cramps their style. A total of 10 space dimensions is ideal. We can't see or roam around the extra dimensions either because they're too small for us to fit into or because our 3D world holds us captive. But if they exist, we might be able to perceive them indirectly. Headed in a new direction. Is there a galaxy right next to you? It might be just an eyelash's width away, yet you can't see it, feel it, or duck over to it for some peace and calm. To get there, you'd have to travel in a 4th dimension of space, one that is perpendicular to the usual 3 of length, width, and height. You can't even point to it. It's all around you, everywhere and nowhere at once. Blown minds are an occupational hazard in string theory, never more so than when talking about one of the theory's most distinctive aspects, extra dimensions of space. I'm not referring to time, which can be thought of as a 4th dimension, though a somewhat different one than the usual 3, but new, honest-to-goodness dimensions of space. If you could avail yourself of the extra freedom of motion they provide, your friends would cower in fear of your superpowers. You could reach into a locked safe by bending your arm around through an extra dimension. You could turn right-handed baseball pitchers into southpaws by flipping them over within the extra dimension. You could untie a tightly knotted rope by sliding it apart in the extra dimension. To adapt a saying of novelist Arthur C. Clarke, any sufficiently advanced notion of space is indistinguishable from magic. String theory suggests that space has a total of 9 dimensions, 6 more than the ones we see. M theory, which underlies string theory, adds yet one more. Including time, that makes a total of 11. The reason for them goes back to the question of consistency. If strings lived in plain 3D space, they'd violate Einstein's special theory of relativity. Some researchers have explored other ways besides piling on dimensions to keep strings from freaking out, but most think that the extra dimensions are unavoidable. Quantum leap. Why would space have 10 dimensions rather than, say, 42? In 10D space, string theory is able to marry all the particle dynasties together. The electron pairs off with a sibling of the photon, which in turn finds itself related to more exotic particles. The end result is one big happy family. If there were fewer than 10 dimensions, particles would split into isolated clans. If there were more than 10, the family would admit some black sheep, additional particles that refused to interact with the others. Either all particles must interact or none can. So the presence of a few antisocial particles would force all the other particles to cease interacting as well. All this is still speculative. Not only have experimenters yet to detect unequivocal signs of extra dimensions, but also proponents of alternatives to string theory see no need to go beyond 3D space. Nonetheless, it's fun to explore the concept of extra dimensions, and if physics teaches us anything, it's that many seemingly obvious features of the world are artifacts of the peculiar position we occupy within it. Someone who'd never left the Himalayas might laugh if you told them of the exotic place known as Nebraska, where two dimensions are quite enough to describe your position. Likewise, the fact that space looks 3D might be an artifact of our position within it. From Flatland to Hyperspace. Let's face it, visualizing extra dimensions is impossible. That's what makes them so much fun. Once you accept that evolution did not equip your brain with the capacity to conceive of a fourth dimension, let alone a fifth or higher, you free yourself to explore them without any pressure, never quite grasping what it would mean to ramble off the beaten path of ordinary space, but having a series of aha moments as you reflect on them from different angles. The tried-and-true technique, going back to Edwin A. Abbott's classic 19th-century novel Flatland, is to imagine what our 3D world would look like to a 2D creature. From there, we can step up to imagining how a higher-dimensional space would look to us. So, let's start with zero dimensions, a mere point. By piecing together points, we create a 1D line. By lining up lines, we create a 2D square. By stacking squares, we create a 3D cube. The dimension of the geometric object indicates how many numbers we need to describe position within that object. A point requires none. A line requires one, indicating where we are along its length. A square requires two for length and width. A cube adds height. Why stop there? By connecting cubes, we create a 4D hypercube, also called a tesseract. To length, width, and height, the hypercube adds some indefinable direction perpendicular to all three. A square has four sides, lines. A cube has six sides, its square faces. And a hypercube has eight sides, cubes. If we double the width of a square, we increase its total size, area, fourfold. If we double the width of a cube, we increase its total size, volume, eightfold. If we do the same to a hypercube, we increase its total size, hypervolume, 16-fold. Those brave enough to venture into five dimensions find pentacubes, and if you dare go into six, hexacubes await you. In principle, it never ends. Other geometric figures follow the same progression. As you bump up the number of dimensions, a circle becomes a sphere, then a hypersphere. A triangle becomes a tetrahedron, a type of pyramid, then a pentachoron, a hyperpyramid. The area, volume, and hypervolume follow the same increasing trend for them as for the cubes. Definition: a hypercube is a 4D cube, a pentacube is a 5D one, and a hexacube is a 6D one. A hypersphere is a 4D sphere, and a hyperpyramid is a 4D pyramid. Imagine rotating a 3D wireframe cube. In a perspective view, it looks like a small square, the back of the cube, inside the bigger one, the front. Surrounding the small square are four trapezoids, which are actually squares, the faces of the cube, distorted by the perspective. Give your eyes a few seconds to catch on. If you need, ask a toddler if you can borrow a toy wooden block. If you rotate the cube counterclockwise, as seen from above the cube, the rear face ends up on your left side and the squares get bent. Now step up from a cube to a hypercube. When it is flattened from four to three dimensions, it looks like a small cube inside a bigger one. The small dark cube is the back of the hypercube. It's small because it's farther away in a perspective view. The six pyramid-like shapes around it are actually cubes, the faces of the hypercube distorted by the perspective. Dozens of websites have other figures that help, or you can just do a search for hypercube. Running out of space. Why, oh why, are we so unlucky? How did we get stuck in only three dimensions, unable to behold the full glory of space? Broadly speaking, string theorists have identified two possible reasons. Either we're too big to fit into the extra dimensions, or our very existence depends on our staying put. Most of us think of space as novelist Douglas Adams memorably described it. Space is big, really big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is. I mean, you may think it's a long way down the road to the chemists, but that's just peanuts to space. Yet that may be true only for the three visible dimensions. If you move in a direction other than these three, you may find space claustrophobic. Maybe Adams was onto something with the peanuts. Consider a flat parking lot. It's 2D. Or at least it looks 2D. In fact, the pavement has bumps and cracks, giving it a third dimension, that of depth. As long as these blemishes are small, your car rolls right over them. Even when a puddle fills the cracks, the bulk of the water lies on the surface. The extra dimensions of the universe could be something like these small cracks. Our bodies might extend into them, but the vast bulk of our bodies still lies in the usual three dimensions. So, how small is small? Physicists aren't sure, but can estimate their maximum possible size. Particle accelerators have zoomed in on details as fine as 10 to the negative 18th power meter, about a thousandth the size of atomic nuclei, without seeing any new dimensions. If the size of the dimensions is all that stops us from entering them, then they can't be any bigger than that. Quantum leap. Suppose you shrank yourself to minuscule size so that you fit into the extra dimensions. How fun would that be? If you took a walk through those dimensions, you could circle around the entire breadth of space and return to your starting point, just as if you took a balloon ride around Earth or played the video game Asteroids and zoomed off the right side of the screen and came back in the left. Or you might reach a true edge of space, a hard wall you'd bounce off. Light would bounce off it too, so it'd look like a mirror. Alternatively, the visible dimensions, rather than the extra ones, may be the sticking point. Maybe they just can't bear to let us go. Consider a fridge magnet. It can slide around in only two dimensions, up, down, and left, right. The force of magnetism holds it to the fridge and prevents it from exploring the third dimension. Similarly, our bodies may be stuck to our three dimensions. The extra-dimensional space could be vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big after all. But we can't break free from 3D space to venture into it. String theory has a natural way of explaining this stickiness. If the particles in our bodies consist of open strings, their ends must be planted in a three-dimensional D-brain. Our observable universe could be such a brain, a so-called brain world, floating within the full 10D space like a leaf in the wind, with us as caterpillars clinging on them for dear life. Definition: a brain world is a D-brain or set of D-brains that hosts a collection of particles, a self-contained universe. If we try to pull an open string out of the brain, the string gets longer, like a bungee cord, but the end points remain attached to the brain. Not even light can break free. If you're a cynic, you can think of the D-brain as our prison. If you're the hopeful sort, you can think of it as our cozy niche in an otherwise hostile universe. Escaping the shackles. Recognizing one's limitations is the first step to overcoming them. Although we may not be able to see the extra dimensions, we might see their effects if we know how to look. It depends on which of the two explanations we just explored applies. Dimensional shadow puppets. In the small dimension scenario, the only thing preventing us from venturing into the extra dimensions is our size. But a particle doesn't have to fit entirely into the dimension to feel it. Going back to the parking lot, if we pay close attention, we can tell when we drive over a crack. Our car rattles slightly. The smaller our tires, the worse it rattles. A shopping cart pushed across a supposedly smooth pavement can shake enough to crack the eggs. Similarly, a small particle could rattle in a small extra dimension of space. In effect, part of the particle dips into the extra dimension. If you didn't know about pavement cracks and you saw a shopping cart rattle, you might think that something was wrong with the cart itself. Likewise, a rattling particle seems to be doing something, but we can't make out what it is, so we interpret it as some internal property. One of the most remarkable things about extra dimensions, and the reason they have such an appeal for physicists, is that this property has all the attributes of electric charge. If the extra dimension has the right shape, gravity acting within it looks like electromagnetism. Light, according to this idea, is the result of particles' dimensional derring-do. So although we may not see the extra dimensions, they may be the reason we can see at all. The strong and weak nuclear forces, too, could be the shadows of an extra-dimensional world. In fact, extra dimensions might solve the hierarchy problem. As we dial up the energy, the forces of nature vary in strength at a very gradual rate. It takes a vast increase in energy for the forces to equalize. Extra dimensions might narrow this perplexing gap in energy. The particles rattling provides new ways for forces to make themselves felt, and the forces vary in strength at a faster rate than they would in 3D. They could equalize at a much lower energy than expected. Footloose gravity. In the sticky dimension scenario, particles don't rattle, but they might have other ways to poke into the extra-dimensional space. If we pump enough energy into a string stuck to a brain, we can stretch it until it snaps in two. The result is a shorter version of the original string plus a closed loop, that is, a graviton. The graviton, having no ends to tie down, slips the surly bonds of D-brains and wanders off into the extra dimensions. It could be our blind man's cane, an implement to poke into a world we can't otherwise see. Quantum leap. Careful observations could look for signs that gravitons roam a higher dimensional space. Highly energetic events, such as stellar explosions, would be a good place to watch for gravitons flying the coop. Black holes, on account of their intense gravity, could be sensitive to what happens in extra dimensions, too. And if our observable universe is only one brain world among many, those other brain worlds could pull on ours gravitationally. Unable to tell where this force is coming from, we'd perceive it as having no direction at all. Such a force might account for various cosmological phenomena. Graviton's escape artistry would explain a big mystery about gravity. Why it's so much weaker than the other forces of nature. Intrinsically, maybe it isn't weaker. It might just look that way because, unlike other forces, it rushes into the extra dimensions and gets diluted. If so, we may have extra dimensions to thank for the fact that Earth's gravity pulls on us gently rather than crushing us like a bug. The tricky thing is that gravitons must be free to wander, but not too free. If they all leaked out of our dimensions, we'd hardly feel gravity at all. The simplest way to plug the leak is for the extra dimensions to be modest in size, though still bigger than the small dimension scenario. Gravitons can then saturate them like water in the pavement cracks. Modest means smaller than about 0.1 millimeter, the limit of current measurements of gravity. A second way to plug the leak is for the extra dimensional space to have some built-in energy, a variant of the cosmological constant. This energy curves space so strongly that gravitons find it hard to climb out of our brain. In effect, our 3D universe sits at the bottom of a steep-walled canyon, and gravitons don't leak out because they can't scale the walls. A third possibility is that other particles living on the brain restrict gravitons' freedom. If a graviton attempts to leave the brain, it skews the brain's particles, creating a gravitational force that draws it back in. If a graviton tries to enter the brain from the outside, it again causes an imbalance of particles, this time repelling the intruder. This third option applies only to gravitons within a certain range of wavelengths. If the wavelength is too short, the gravitons oscillate too rapidly for the particles to respond, so they enter and exit at will. If it's too long, the gravitons are too pitifully weak to provoke a response, so they slip under the radar screen and again propagate as they please. This long-distance behavior might explain why cosmic expansion is accelerating. On the funky side, using extra dimensions, string theorists have tried to explain this specific pattern of particles and forces found in the Standard Model and its simplest extensions. In the small dimension scenario, reproducing the Standard Model requires the extra dimensions to have a very specific shape. They must crumple up into a funky thing known as a Calabi-Yau shape, named after the two mathematicians who had worked out the details long before physicists took an interest. Calabi-Yaus come in progressively more complex varieties depending on how many extra dimensions there are. With two dimensions, things would be blissfully simple. The sole 2D Calabi-Yau space is a torus, a donut-shaped space with one hole in the middle. Higher-dimensional versions are unimaginably convoluted pretzels with multiple holes. Calabi-Yaus and related shapes make sense of several of the idiosyncrasies of the Standard Model. For instance, their donut-like holes could account for why particles come in distinct generations. Each generation involves the same vibrational patterns, the only difference being how strings wrap through the holes. The shape of extra dimensions could also shed light on the mirror asymmetry of the weak nuclear force. A mirror reflection in 3D is a rotation in 4D. If a baseball coach could somehow lift his star pitcher into a fourth dimension and flip him over, what used to be his right hand would become his left. The distinction between righties and lefties would evaporate. Sadly, we can't do that. Whatever hinders our motion through the extra dimensions may break the symmetry of left and right. Unfortunately, string theorists have trouble going beyond these generalities. Performing calculations on complex spaces is, well, complex. Mathematicians don't even know how many 6D Calabi-Yau shapes there are. Each potential shape implies a distinct pattern of particles and forces. None quite explain the Standard Model. The sticky dimension scenario is easier to work with. One idea making the rounds is that the universe is not a single brain, but a framework of multiple brains. Particles are open strings stretched across the framework, forming a giant musical instrument, a multidimensional zither. The arrangement of brains, more than the shape of space, determines the vibrational patterns of the strings. A particle's electric charge and other properties indicate which pairing of brains it connects. Separate brains represent left-handedness and right-handedness, accounting for the mirror asymmetry of the weak nuclear force. Truth be told, this whole setup of brains is somewhat ad hoc. Eventually, string theorists hope to explain the Standard Model more organically. In the meantime, though, theorists reckon that the best shouldn't be the enemy of the good. Using brains, they make quantitative predictions that experimenters can test at the Large Hadron Collider. Goldilocks and the Three Dimensions. Why would dimensions come in two varieties, observable and extra? Nobody knows for sure. But one thing physicists do know is that three dimensions are special. Complex life forms seem scarcely possible in two, let alone one or zero. At the other extreme, a higher dimensional space overly loosens the constraints on objects' behavior, leading to chaos. Planetary orbits through four dimensions go haywire, and atoms can't hold together. The same goes for multiple time dimensions. Apart from giving new meaning to the joke about the man who has two watches and never knows what time it is, multiple time dimensions would make events unpredictable, muddle cause and effect, and destabilize otherwise stable particles. Quantum leap. It's fun to speculate whether 2D life forms could exist after all. In his 1984 book Planiverse, computer scientist Alexander Dewdney of the University of Western Ontario came up with some ingenious solutions to the anatomical challenges. Since then, scientists have discovered that 2D space is surprisingly rich. One of the hottest areas of material science right now is plasmonics, in which light behaves as a 2D wave, a plasmon, rippling along the side of a metal sheet. Experimenters have developed plasmonic mirrors, lenses, microscopes, even lasers. As for gravity, a 2D space is too constricting to allow bodies to exert gravitational forces on one another. But gravity can operate in other interesting ways, even forming black holes. As paltry as three dimensions may seem compared to the wonders of higher dimensions, they have the distinct advantage of allowing us to exist. Fewer are too Spartan, more are too permissive, and three are just right. Broadly speaking, there are two ways to explain why we got so lucky to live in a space that's just right for us. The first is that we had no choice. It's the same reason that intelligent life in our solar system arose on Earth, but not on the other planets. The universe could be filled with brains of all dimensions in the same way our solar system is filled with planets, and most are either as desolate as Mercury or as menacing as Jupiter. The second possibility is that the specialness of 3D space goes beyond the requirements of living things. For instance, simple geometry favors some numbers of dimensions over others. If brains of all dimensions float around out there, they occasionally collide and destroy each other. The smaller the number of dimensions in a brain, the smaller the target it presents. Think of a pot of water on the stove. If you drop in two sheets of seaweed, they're guaranteed to hit. If you drop in two strands of spaghetti, they might. If you drop in two peas, they probably won't. In paring back the number of dimensions from 2D sheets to 1D spaghetti to nearly 0D peas, you reduced the likelihood of colliding foodstuffs. In a 10D stew, a 3D brain is more likely to survive than a higher dimensional one. Three dimensions also emerge as the preferred number in a couple of the alternatives to string theory. In the Bucky space theory, for example, the collective behavior of the building blocks of space give rise to three dimensions over large distances. Why Bucky space works this way, no one quite knows, but it's somehow related to the importance of cause-effect relations. When researchers consider building blocks on which effect can precede cause, their simulations predict that space scrunches up into a tight, chaotic ball. Quantum leap. Another tantalizing reason for three dimensions emerges from the foundations of quantum theory. The theory holds that we can obtain only a limited amount of information about an object. For the simplest particle, we can make three mutually exclusive measurements. It seems awfully coincidental that this number matches the number of dimensions of space. Physicist Carl von Weizsäcker noted this fact in the 1950s, but physicists have yet to explore it much further. All this discussion skirts several deep questions. Why does the concept of a dimension matter to begin with? Why can the state of a physical object be described in terms of spatial position? And why are a certain number of numbers required to specify this position? These questions go back to the problem of what space and time are. They may not, in fact, be fundamental, but arise from the shenanigans of even more fundamental concepts. In that case, the concept of a dimension isn't fundamental either. When physicists figure out what space really is, the answers about extra dimensions may fall into place. The least you need to know. To us, space appears to have three dimensions: length, width, and height. The choreography of string theory needs a far grander dance floor, 10 dimensions of space in all, plus one of time. We don't see those extra dimensions directly because either they're too small or our usual three dimensions are too sticky. Our 3D space might be a brain world floating through the full 10D space. According to other theories, space does not, in fact, have higher dimensions.